Everyone, this is Pastor Buddy welcoming you tonight to the Shepherd's Hour. We're glad to have you in here with us. We're going right into the Bible. We are actually on part five that we've only been able to save or retrieve the third part of this series on Mystery Babylon. And so then, we are here tonight to pick up on part three. And we'll probably extend this out to part five so we can have a five-part series since that we've been having some technical difficulties beyond our control at the station here so that we can get this message out to you. And tonight we're going to go into part three as we started last night before we had a power failure at the station and to no fault except maybe perhaps Mother Nature. Well, we're glad that we're on live tonight, and we are. This is the 22nd day. This is Friday, and we will continue maybe Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday of next week with part four and five of this series where we can have, like I said, a five-part series for you to go into some of the mystery and trying to unveil some of the mystique about Mystery Babylon. Now, we have got into some new areas of thought for those who have ever thought about Mystery Babylon. Tonight we're going into the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. We're going to hook it up to the 49th chapter, and we're going to show you the distinction between two specific groups of people. We have been led to believe, as I have indicated before, that the Jews are God's chosen people. We refute that with the evidence of the Bible. Nobody has ever been able to come and refute our evidence that supports that Israel, not Judah, and out of the sons of Israel, is one specific tribe, Joseph, not Judah. All the promises, birthright, are given to Joseph. We have taken to task many in the past over this very issue. We have issued challenges and even offered a monetary example of $1,000 for anybody that can prove that Judah was ever given a specific promise in the Bible where he would have the birthright, or that the Messiah, the promised inheritor son, would come to claim the birthright through the lineage of Judah. So nobody has taken our challenge of $1,000. Now, let me simplify that by saying this and renewing that challenge right up front with this very timely message that we're going to get into, which will prove the very point of our argument, that tonight we're going to display, if you will, showcase the differences between the covenant promises to, for, and about a people, and then a people that's come in, sort of stole the limelight, if you will, and these are they that say they're Jews. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't say this lightly when we say this. If you believe that the Jews are God's chosen people, if you've been led to believe that through tradition, through your pastor, your teacher, your preacher, through your Sunday school applications, your thought process of just natural, by hearing it somewhere at the grocery store or somewhere else, it seems like that everybody and their grandmother in Christianity, now I just speak for Christianity, since I know a lot about Christianity, because I've been on the journey for a long time, over 50 years of actually looking into the scriptures and trying to find out where my position is or where my position would be with the Father. And through the evolution of time, I have now matured into the last days to tell you emphatically that the Jews are absolutely nowhere recorded in Scripture. Are they now, or were they ever, or never will they be, according to Scriptures, the birthright children? Now, I'm going to read you a very, 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 very important verse of Scripture here, maybe a couple of verses, in Genesis chapter 4. Now, this is concerning Cain, and I didn't give you the Strong's reference of verse 1. When I taught on this before, Strong's number 854 is from, which is a misapplication of the word in the English. It should be against. And Eve said, I have conceived, and I have bared Cain, and I have gotten a man from the Lord. That's what it says here in the King James. Now, let me give you the actual interpretation in the literal Hebrew. I have gotten a man against the Lord, or opposed to the Lord. Strong's number 854 is the proper word that should be placed there. When you look at it, from is a weaker verb than it should be a noun, against the Lord. In other words, Cain's genetic mentality, his spiritual characteristic. Remember, John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, said that Cain was of the wicked one. Now, never did the Lord, or Adam for that matter, claim this offspring. Now, isn't that strange that Adam didn't claim him? Neither did the Lord. Well, if neither one of these claimed him, who would that leave here in the picture? It would leave Satan. Now, I believe, and I think it can be proven, I know it's very controversial, I know that the church, Christian church, doesn't believe it, doesn't preach it, that they, you know, they would be appalled for me to get up in the pulpit and preach this message. They couldn't hack it. They couldn't stand it. They couldn't take the raw truth that could come out of the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and 4. They could not accept this raw truth of Satan fathering the child. They just can't buy that. There is no way that they can conceive in their minds that Satan would be someone that would be able to father a child. But now, let me turn that around and flip the coin for you and look at these two mighty ones that were in the garden. Now, here's the catch 22 where you really bring the truth down and they can't endure sound doctrine. This is the whole problem with Christianity. They live in a world of make-believe, hide and seek. They hide more than they seek. And the Bible said, seek him that made the constellations and the seven stars of Orion, and place them there for your evidence. And then in the north hung out the serpent up there in the picture of the constellations and give you a clear indication that it's always been and always will be two for and about, two seeds battling in the very beginning, with the third seed possibility that we bring in as something that you might entertain in your thought process to give you a clear indication of what we got going on here. Now, can Satan, did Satan, or could Satan bring forth a child in Genesis chapter 3? Did he impregnate a woman? Did he impregnate Eve? And everybody would say, oh, of course not. Now, you know, yeah, he was the serpent. Yeah, he was the snake back there that, you know, it was a tree that she ate from. It was a natural fruit, Pastor Buddy, because it says she ate from the tree. and they give no. They give no comprehensive understanding to the revelation that the trees are depicting, the trees are pruning, the trees are terminology. These are coded languages, if you will, for the wise to pick up. Now, it's true that if the gospel's hid, it's hid to them's lost, and so the gospel is written in a sort of a code. It had to be. Otherwise, it would have been easy for Satan to figure out the plan, the mysteries of all the prophets, the hidden things. And the Bible said, if the gospel's hid, it's hid again to them, it's lost. But it's not hid to them that are gifted, qualified, and deserving of the information. And yet, when the information comes down, it's so alien to Christianity, it is so alien to that which they think is right, because the Bible says, there is a way. That seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. Yes, Satan, as a matter of fact, and the Bible said, I work the work that I'm among you in that day that you won't believe though a man declared unto you. And when a preacher comes with the whole hardcore evidence that Satan did impregnate Eve and getting the seed in Genesis 3:14, 3:15, and Almighty God stepped in, evaluated the situation, and said, Satan, here's what he said in Genesis 3, verse 14, notice what he said. And the Lord God said unto the Nakash, which is the English word serpent, and that's a very, very important thing for you to look at here, because that thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of your life. Now, we think in the terms of a snake. This is a terminology, a typology, a metaphor, if you will. The snake, Satan, acting as a very slithering snake. You know what kind of a feeling you get when you see a snake? I don't care whether it's poisonous or unpoisonous. Your first impulse is to kill the joker. Because it's something evil, something that could later hide and get you, and things of this nature, so we have a first impulse to kill. And it's the only, if you will, it is the only species upon the earth that we have this first impulse is to kill immediately when we see a snake. And this means, is it a psychological thing that's been placed within us that the terminology or the typology or the metaphors that's given here in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, where it says, and to the man, or to the woman, he said, thou did givest me, and she gave me of the tree, as Adam said, and I did eat. All right, it's Strong's number 398. Which is lay, L-A-Y. Satan laid with Eve after she had laid with the serpent and someone else. Now, who laid with her, let's say, in this sense, in this the twins, she had twins, she had two seeds in her womb, just like Rebecca, when she went to inquire of Yahweh, it was told her, you've got two nations or two manners of seed in your womb. And ladies and gentlemen, I am going to assure you that this is exactly what was happening in the Garden of Eden. There were two seeds in her womb placed by two different genetic seed lines. And Adam had nothing to do with either one of them. Oh, you say, Pastor, buddy, you're beside yourself, you're mad. How in the world did the woman get pregnant without Adam? Well, that's the $64 question here, and herein lies the mystery. Now, let me give you something to think about on these terms. Most of those that believe in two seed lines would accept the fact that Satan and Adam had relationships, sexual relations with the woman. And she was pregnant, number one, with the seed of Adam, and the seed of the serpent being Cain's offspring, or the offspring would be serpent's offspring would be Cain, and then the offspring of Adam would be Abel. But nowhere in the Bible is the latter example provable. Now I'm talking about Adam. Nowhere can you tie Adam's blood line or Adam's genetics or Adam's offspring from the woman to Abel. Abel is not in the downline of Adam. Neither is Cain. So then that brings back the focus again, what really happened. And let me show you something. And now I'm going to get on the wandering vagabond. I'm going to try to get out of this text or context here I'm in and get into the wandering vagabond in Genesis 4. But I've got to lay a little gestalt, a little groundwork, a little understanding for you. And most of you good learned folks that listen to Pastor Buddy, you know where I'm going, you know where I come from, and you know that I have put out directives in this matter, and that I have issued challenges for preachers, or teachers, or anyone else that would care to get in here and challenge this theory here that I'm fixing to lay down. The theory is this. Yahweh was forced to have a relationship with the whorish woman, Eve. She'd already laid with the Satan. She's already pregnant. Now, there's a window of opportunity for pregnancy. This is a proven fact. Herein is a provable idea for you to think about. That we can have fraternal twins here. Now, what I mean by fraternal twins is not identical twins. Identical twins is two that are in the womb from the same genetic blood. And fraternalism, we have two in the womb. Fraternal twins would be two in the womb with two different fathers. Now, is that possible? Is it possible for a black man and a white man to lay with a woman and produce two offsprings, one black and one white? Yes. Examples happen all the time. It is not rare. It is a common occurrence. It's happened before. Will probably happen again many times to prove this point. Now, who typed after Satan? Cain. The Bible said Cain was of the wicked one. Nowhere in lineage. Now, this is where I offered the challenge of $1,000 for anybody, under the sound of my voice, to prove that Cain ever had a bloodline connection back to Adam. Now, I'm going to give you this. Nowhere was it written in the scriptures, or in the scriptures, where that Abel had a bloodline affiliation with Adam. Yeah. So, both of these meet each other. If the two seed line theory is correct, which I say it's not, there's a three seed line theory here. You've got to consider three to bring forth a seed that we bring into question here. The seed of the woman, she had two seeds, and then there was the other seed. So that's what we've got to consider here. That makes three seeds instead of two. The two seed line theorist, I am not a two seed line theorist. I do not advocate two seed line. And when preachers and positions of Christian identity that promote two seed lines, they get into this two seed line and they forget the third seed, the most important seed. They leave out this seed. Yes, Adam had a seed, but I'll challenge any man, woman, or child under the sound of my voice tonight on Truth Radio, Worldwide Connect, to prove where Adam fathered Abel. Ah, now if you can't read it, then you can't claim I could have just as much justifiable reasons for saying he was not Adam's son as you could for saying he was. because here we're having to suppose. But let's go to the preponderance of the evidence. Now let me ask you one simple question. When, where, and how was the Son of Yahweh slain from the foundation of the world? Not the Son of Adam. When was the Son of God slain from the foundation of the world, as thus said the Scriptures? When or where is the replacement? Was it not Seth in the fifth chapter of Genesis that Adam knew his wife Eve, and then she brought forth in his image, and he had a downline, bloodline genetic? So the very purpose of Adam being selected, because Yahweh's son, Abel, was killed by the murderer. And ladies and gentlemen, if you deny that Yahweh's capable of getting a son, then you've got yourself in a dilemma over in Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 3. You've got to deny the birth of a Messiah. Most people would know him as Jesus Christ. We know him as Yahweh Yeshua, the anointed one, the promised child, the promised replacement seed that was slain from the garden. Did Almighty Yahweh know that once he brought his son into the presence of Satan, that Satan would slay his son? Of course he knew that. You say, well, why did he do it? Because he had to have a seed source. The Bible said, except the seed die, it can't bring forth. And so he brought forth many sons by planning the righteous blood of Abel, which will be required now, not only the blood of the Son of God on Calvary, as we know it, will be required, but every righteous drop of blood beginning at Abel. This is the prerequisite, and then the blood of Almighty God in the latter times should be forth and brought forth again, not born. Now here's the catch 22. The book of John states emphatically that the blood of Christ was not the blood of a man. And that this blood was capable of dying for the sins of the world, just like Abel was a type and a shadow of the Son of God to come. He was the son, first son, slain, and a replacement had to come through Christ. And oh my, if you can't see this third seed, then you don't understand what Pastor Buddy's talking about tonight. But if you can comprehend that Yahweh and Satan, these two mighty ones, had both to take their opportunity. Now we're talking about the prototypes here. And so Satan's son overcame Yahweh's son, and Yahweh's son, Abel, the Son of God, the Son of Yahweh, was slain from the foundation of the world. Now the Bible says that Adam was a son of Yahweh. Luke chapter 3, genealogy. But nowhere does the genealogy specify that the Son of God had one drop of Adam's blood from an offspring rather than the progenitor. Born not of the will of a man or the blood of man, but born by the will of Almighty God. Therefore, God himself incarnated in a body of flesh. And therein lies the great mystery. And therein lies the dilemma for those who are blind and can't see and are lost, either one seat or two. You got to get three seats to get it right, ladies and gentlemen. For there's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are the evidence. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. I'm glad to have you with me tonight. I'm hoping that you're studying with me in the scriptures here. I'm going to chapter 4 now. I've got to hurry along here. I've got so much to cover. It looks like that it would take about 6 weeks to teach this all out, to bring forth all of its manifested mysteries of the mystery of Babylon. This is part of the great mystery of Babylon. Babylon is a tear or a thread or a seam that way sewn in to the very truth. Now, where is the best place to have the truth? As the old saying, the best place to hide an evil is not in a haystack, but in a stack of needles. It finds yourself very difficult to find the needle in the stack of needles. You can eventually find a needle in the haystack if you look long enough. Well, this is a very, very great mystery. And tonight, I would like to entitle my message, The Vagabond Mystery Babylon. Vagabond Mystery Babylon. And I might have to teach a couple hours on this very message here. But listen to me. And Abel, verse 4 of 4, Genesis, brought a firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offerings. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord God said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Now, let me show you why. Because that Abel had a divine revelation, and this offering for covering of his mother's sin. Now, the Bible said Adam was not deceived. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that brings you back to the Genesis episode of chapter 3. Adam was not deceived. He didn't bring anything in the garden. He did not plant one seed. The only reason that he can return to the garden in a savior type is because he was not deceived. And he voluntarily took upon himself the punishment. Greater love hath no man than this to lay his life down for his friend. Adam had a friend in Eve, a part of him, which was a part of the church, which is a type. And oh my, how we could go into the metaphors and the examples and express our whole hour upon one thing and the love of Almighty God for His bride, His church, His offspring, His people, typed and shadowed in Adam. Oh, what a beautiful specimen here. Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now, she would come out of the garden pregnant. Neither of the sons that she had in her womb belonged to Adam. I'm going to repeat this, and I challenge any preacher under the sound of my voice to meet me on this debate. We'll public debate it, and I'll see that Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack will see that the program airs. Adam was not the father of Cain or Abel. And I offer anybody $1,000 to prove where that he was. You say, well, I know he wasn't the father of Cain. That's the two-seed line theory now. This is where Christian identity goes wrong. This is where they need some instruction. This is why they won't listen to nothing. That's just like British Israelitism. Christian identity believes that Great Britain is Ephraim and that the United States is Manasseh when it's actually opposite. And then when you really get after them, they'll tell you that the royal bloodline of that came from the tribe of England, the queen and the king, that is, it's a perfect example of Judah, that God would have a king set upon the throne of Judah. That's another figment of their imagination they can't read. So then we've got so many misconceptions, even in what we call Christian identity, and this is why Christian identity frowns at Pastor Buddy and his teachings. Because I haven't found one of them. I haven't found a Christian identity preacher nowhere. And I know quite a few of them. I haven't found one yet that will face me in an open public appearance, show their faith, and open the Bible with me in the Scriptures on this subject. Why? Because they cannot read what they believe, and to read them and hang them, you'd be hanging them on the gallows just like they hang everybody else. Because they won't accept two-seat-line identity. But take the third son. This is the issue they will not handle. This is the hot potato for Christian identity. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where they can't pay their dues. This is where they can't speak up. This is where they hold their peace. This is where they back out and back down and run and hide from the very truth that the Son of God had not one drop of man's blood in his veins from the male progenitor who himself is the issuance of his blood genetic types. And there again is the dilemma for those who would say that Yahweh could not or did not father a son in the Garden of Eden. Yes, he fathered one 2,000 years ago. I believe that. Do you believe that? If you don't believe that, then you don't even believe in the Christian divine principles of the virgin birth. I'm not going to argue on the virgin birth. I think the word there in Isaiah 9 and 6 is a little questionable in the wording. It doesn't say she is a virgin, but it's an accepted fact through folklore or through mythology of the past that a virgin would have a child. Whether she had known a man or whether she had known a man is not the issue. The issue is, did she know God? Did God, when I say God, and I hate to say this, but the only way it seems like if people that's out there in the world listening and knows what I'm talking about, they don't have any trouble knowing who I'm talking about when I say God, except they don't know who God is. That's the problem. He's got a name, and it's not God. But I'm going to use God for the sake of emphasis, just to bring it down home to Christian believers that may be listening tonight, that there's no scripture in the Bible anywhere that says that the Son of God, 2,000 years born, had one drop of man's blood in his veins. And I challenge anybody to read where he did. Say, well, how could he be born of a woman if a man didn't know her? So the Bible said God overshadowed Mary. Is that what it said? That's what it said. And the Bible said she conceived. Now, if God had the ability 2,000 years ago, why didn't he have that ability 6,000 years ago at the garden? If we're in the timeline of true timeline. Well, sometimes take some issue with that, but that's neither here nor there. That's another message. But let's go, just like the flood. Was it worldwide or was that a localized flood? Well, it was worldwide. God destroyed everything that breathed. Really? Have you really studied the preponderance of the evidence? How did you draw your conclusion so hastily? Well, I heard, you know, I believe, and that's what the Bible said. See, sometimes we read things and we believe things that are there but are not saying what it really says, or at least what you think it says, and I have made those mistakes before, and I'm sure that you have. Just like, well, I believe there was three wise men. Well, you can't read it. But every Christmas play has three wise men bringing their offerings up to some little plastic Jesus living in a Well, say, well, it's the symbology, Pastor Betty. Don't throw off on our plays and things of this nature. It's always on Christmas Eve, December the 25th, mostly on 24th, when old Saint Nick brings the gifts, and that's when we put on the Christmas plays for all of Christianity to go, and we enact all these things, and we're so damn gullible, pardon the French here at this place, but I need to add some emphasis. The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Brother Bob, I hope I'm not overdriving the mic here tonight on the recording devices, because I'm feeling the Holy Ghost tonight, and I'm feeling the power of Almighty God and the boldness of Peter, James, and John, who were ignorant and unlearned, yet had the ability to discern exactly what the Holy Father meant in his encrypted messages that he laid down in the text and wove it in there so tight and hid it right in the mouth of the lion, right in the mouth of the liars. And that's where he brought his son and laid him right at the feet of Babylon, and Babylon rose up and slayed him. And there's nobody under the sound of my voice that I know of that could deny that Christ, you may know him as Jesus, had one drop of man's blood. I challenge anybody to show that he had a drop of a man's blood. And so then, if he didn't have a drop of man's blood, he wasn't Adam. Adam would have been a kinsman, and the son would have been a kinsman redeemer to come and make worthy of the promise of the vow of Almighty God that he would incarnate into a flesh body and walk the earth and redeem as a kinsman redeemer the next of kin. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I get happy talking about this message. It gets into, let me show you something here. Let me show you the distinction between the two seats. Verse 12. Let me give it study verse 11. I'm still in Genesis 4, by the way. And thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood. Now there, I want you to think about thy brother's blood from thy hand. Now, how was he affiliated with brother? Brother would be blood type. A brother would be something that would have the same genetic characteristics, unless it was a fraternal brother, something that looked like it was a brother that came from the womb, yet it displayed unique characteristics vastly different in genetic character makeup and DNA process, and therein lies the problem. Now, notice here, in 12, verse 12 again, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. That is my word tonight, vagabond. Mystery, Babylon, vagabond. Are you with me tonight? Mystery, Babylon, vagabond. Where are the vagabonds tonight that have, now notice this, behold, thou hast driven me out, because he said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. I will, from this day, from the face of the earth, and from the face I shall be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. A fugitive. No nation, no promise, no covenant. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a vagabond people that has wandered upon the earth for centuries without a home, without a place. The earth would not yield to them. They are not noted farmers. They are not noted inventors. They are leeches. They are blood-sucking, vampirish leeches that have parasited their way into society and held on to the blood, the lifeblood of those who have the covenants to survive. They have piggybacked upon the very back of mystery, Babylon the Great. And again, I say it's not the Catholic Church as you suppose. And therein lies, again, the dilemma of those who hold that the Catholic Church is the great whore that corrupted the whole earth, and that she is the mystery Babylon the Great. Oh, yes, there was a two-tower symbol, the 11, it fell in Babylon, New York. Oh, yes, it was a controlled money tower. Oh, yes, all the symbology is there. You're getting warned now as to who the real, were the real disruptors and deceivers of mystery Babylon stand up, and it will not be Rome. Which, by the way, is just as false as all of the rest of Christianity, by the way. But that is blindness in part. And so blindness in part has happened to Israel for a specific reason. My good friend Willie Martin has got a great article written in this respect. Men that know what they're talking about in these respects have written and piped and preached and taught in the streets, and their truth, their message is being cast to the ground, just like people tonight are casting my message aside because they say, well, he's mad, he's beside himself, and much learning has made him mad. No. No, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said, I'll work a work that I'm among you that you won't believe, though a man declared unto you. And the very fact that Adam was not the father of Cain or Abel is an established fact, whether everybody agrees with that or not, doesn't matter. The truth will remain the same, that I'll give you $1,000 reward to prove whether either son was the blood of Adam. And if it's true that Adam was the son of God, and that the son of God was slain, wasn't Adam, it was the son of God, Abel. This is the offspring would come from the seed, the loins of Yahweh himself in the garden. And therefore, they would be direct kinsmen, and therefore, a kinsman redeemer would be necessary to come and to get Adam, who was not deceived, to redeem him later through the promise that God himself would send the kinsman redeemer through a woman to redeem Adam, who volunteered to come to the earth voluntarily. He didn't have to. He was not deceived. You can say he was. He wasn't. When he had a relationship with Eve in Genesis chapter 5, he brought forth a son, his firstborn son, and his name was not Abel, his name was not Christ, his name was Seth, which means a replacement seed, which is a type of the first promised son, so that Christ could come through this lineage, not from the blood of the lineage, but through the lineage, meaning that the woman would supply the chromosomes necessary to build the building blocks of the flesh that God himself would walk in, but the blood would belong to God Almighty, just like it did in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, when God Almighty himself overshadowed Eve and got a son and called him Abel, and that Satan overshadowed Eve and got a son and called his name Cain. They were fraternal, and Adam got one in the fifth chapter of Genesis that made three sons or three seeds, and here we go. Now it narrows down. We are going to eliminate the seed or the flesh man. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh my. Neither will the wicked or the tares inherit with the children of Almighty God. You are a direct descendant, not of Adam, but you are a direct offspring of Almighty God, Yahweh, and your name's been on the Lamb's book from the very foundation before Adam was ever brought forth. Jeremiah, before I brought you forth in the womb, I knew you. Oh my, are we predestinated seed? And yet you will say, well, why hath the potter made me thus? But shall the clay say to the potter? The very question posed, why have you made me? Some are made natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed in the fire. The wandering vagabond mystery is that there is a race of people that belong to Satan himself, offspring. Have you ever read about the death of Cain? It is not recorded anywhere where Cain died, for there was a replacement. You can read his offspring bloodline, that they built cities and they multiplied, and the wicked were abundant upon the earth down to the time of Noah, and were abundantly present after the flood. Immediately, evil was still there. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were just as evil then as they will be now, or just as evil now as they were then. And God puts no difference between them and us, except one thing. God Almighty knows His sheep. And He'll be coming after you sooner or later. And if you'll hear His voice and come into the revelation of truth and accept it, as controversial as it may be, let it spring forth, let the light shine, and walk in and find rest for your soul. It's special, buddy, and I've enjoyed being here. I've really got wound up and wanted to really preach and really take the harness off here and get out there and labor among you with the Word of God, which is given and is sharper and quicker than any two-edged sword, piercing even the body and the son right down to the joint and the marrow of the bone, to discern whose blood is who. And if you don't have the blood of Almighty God in your veins, you're a genetic inheritance of a covenant and a kinsman redeemer. You'll never go back to the Father. Yes, it is true that there were three sons and only one got the covenant package. His name was Seth. Adam had three sons, or Noah had three sons and only one got the covenant promise. That was Seth. Praise Yahweh. And so then we have the replacement factor kinsman redeemer blood coming into our lives through the covenant. Nothing else. Praise Yahweh. Your righteousness won't get you there. I don't care how many eggs you haven't stolen or how many you have. It's not based on your righteousness. It's based on His performance. And His performance said, I know my sheep and I'm coming for them, and I will not return without one. I'll leave the 99 to get the one. You can believe one thing. Everything that He had in the beginning will be His in the end, and He ain't lost. So, that's my message tonight. If you'd like to call me tonight. I need to hear from you. We're going off of Truth Radio. We'll be going on WWCR, which is a shortwave station. We'll be giving you the call letters later on. It is 12.160, by the way, and 5070. Dr. Gary will be on again Sunday night at 6 o'clock Eastern Time. It'll be 5 Central Time in the Nashville area, 5 o'clock Central. So tune in to Dr. Gary and WWCR radio broadcast, and he will give you some more of this wonderful information that we have concerning Jacob Israel and for the welfare of Jacob Israel. If you'd like to call me, area code 423-66-3173, or write me, 2284 New Townsville, Tennessee, the zip 37824. You probably know it by heart, you're a regular listener. Call Dr. Gary tonight, 1-877-289-7400. 39 or Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. I'll see you Monday evening at 8 o'clock on the Shepherd's Talk.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.